This is the Tom Hartman Program.
It's the third hour Friday of our program, picking up your calls, Anything Goes Friday. I did want to keep you up to date on the news of the day, what's going on out there. This most recent one is the Democrats know that Brett Kavanaugh, the guy that Donald Trump wants to put in the Supreme Court, that he lied to Congress, which, by the way, is a five-year felony. He lied to Congress back in 2006 when they were, in his confirmation hearings, when they were considering putting him on the D.C. Circuit Court bench. This is the second highest court in America, by and large. Most of the people who end up on the Supreme Court were on the D.C. Circuit first. It's the one that deals with most government stuff. And Brett Kavanaugh in 2006 was, you know, he had been appointed to this by George W. Bush in payment for his working in the George W. Bush administration, helping vet torture memos and the torture of people, of human beings, and helping vet the illegal wiretapping of Americans. And when he got up before Congress, first of all, we've got the proof of this. I mean, you know, there's actually emails. There are at least two publicly available documents. This is from Daily Kos, a piece by Joan McCarter. There are at least two publicly available documents on the Bush Library website. You can see this on the internet right now, that show that Brett Kavanaugh was absolutely involved in government rendition, in the treatment of detainees, and illegal wiretapping during when he was the staff secretary to George W. Bush. In fact, he laid out a set of talking points about the secret torture policy. But when he got before the committee, he said, and I quote, "I have not seen or heard anything about the president's wiretapping program until December of 2005, you know, long after this happened. He said he was not aware of any issues regarding the legal justifications of the policies relating to the treatment of detainees, his words, was, quote, not involved in the questions about the rules governing governing detention of combatants, his words, and had nothing to do with the issues. Excuse me, sneeze. Had nothing to do with issues relating to rendition and was unaware of and saw no documents related to the warrantless wiretapping program conducted without congressional authorization. These apparently are all lies. Brett Kavanaugh lied in order to become a federal judge, and now he's trying to lie in order to become a member of the Supreme Court. And the Democrats are not having it. They're trying to subpoena these records. The question in my mind is, when does Trump pull his nomination? I mean, this is like Harriet Myers or like Robert Bork. So we'll see. Meanwhile, there is small business owners are asking Congress to restore net neutrality. This is a telepresser event that's happening today. It's being put on by fightforthefuture.org. And they're targeting constituents. These are local business owners who live in the districts of Representative Roskam, who is a Republican for Illinois' 6th District, Representative Gardner, Representative Fazzo, who is a Republican representative from New York's 19th District, Kansas City, Representative Yoder from Kansas's 3rd, Syracuse, New York, Representative Katko, who of New York's 24th, and Anchorage, Alaska, Representative Don Young from Alaska, the one congressional district in Alaska. They're targeting these Republicans to say, if you guys will simply join the Democrats in signing this request for a discharge petition so that we can have a vote in the House of Representatives on net neutrality. It's already passed the Senate. Let's get this vote in the House and fix this, number one. Number two, other news stories here. Shepard Smith has been just doing some amazing stuff on Fox so-called news, basically taking down Sean Hannity every day. I'm wondering, how long is this going to last? How long before Sean Hannity takes down Shepard Smith the way he took down Alan Combs? He got sick and tired of Alan Combs contradicted him. He got him fired. But here's what Shepard Smith said on Fox the other day, pushing back on Sean Hannity's lies. He said, and I quote, "Much of Giuliani's attack on Brennan involved the dossier compiled by the former British spy Christopher Steele that the administration has repeatedly asserted was what began the Russian investigation. It was not what began the Russian investigation. The Russian investigation began after the former Trump policy advisor George Stephanopoulos told an Australian diplomat that the Russians had dirt on his then political opponent, Hillary Clinton. That information was passed along to intelligence officials," which is absolutely correct. Trump keeps saying that it was the Steele dossier that started the whole Mueller investigation. It wasn't. It was George Papadopoulos bragging to an Australian diplomat that the Russians had dirt on Hillary and that the Trump campaign was going to get it. For context, Shepard Smith says, the research in the dossier includes 17 memos produced by the former spy Christopher Steele. This is pushing back on the idea that Christopher Steele has been debunked. Shepard Smith said they allege misconduct in a conspiracy between members of the Trump campaign and the Russian government during the 2016 election. Some assertions in the dossier have been confirmed. Other parts are unconfirmed. None of the dossier, to Fox News' knowledge, has been disproven. So here you've got the Fox News operation, Shepard Smith, contradicting the Fox propaganda operation, Sean Hannity. It's fascinating. It's just absolutely fascinating. And finally, George Monbiot has a piece in the Guardian. We're in a new age of obesity. How did it happen? And he's citing a... Yeah, somebody called yesterday. No, here it is. It's Jacques Peretti in his film, The Men Who Made Us Fat. Sean tracked this down for me. You can't find it on YouTube or the usual sources because it's a BBC report and it's restricted to England. But they came to the United States and they looked at why did we start getting obese in the 1980s? And it turns out that it was Earl Butz, Ronald Reagan's agriculture secretary, pushing policies that would massively subsidize your and my tax dollars, massively subsidizing the production of corn. A decade earlier, a group of Japanese scientists had figured out a chemical process to create a brand new chemical compound out of corn. It's called high fructose corn syrup. But it's something that has never been part of the diet of human beings in all of the 3 million years of our evolution, the 250,000 years of our modern history. We've never been exposed to it. But Earl Butz was promoting policies that would replace sugar as a sweetener, which was coming from Cuba and from Central and South America, countries that Reagan didn't like, replace that with high fructose corn syrup, this chemical that whacks us. And now, we know we're actually eating fewer calories than we were in 1976, and yet we're massively fatter than in 1976. Why is it? And he says it's not a decline in manual labor. We're actually working more than we were. Then it's not voluntary exercise. Children's physical activity is the same as it was 50 years ago. So what has happened? Sure enough, it's high fructose corn syrup and a lot of other sugar in our diet. High fructose corn syrup, it turns out, Louise and I watched this documentary last night. There are bootleg copies on the internet. And high fructose corn syrup, it turns out, blocks the body's production of a hormone called leptin. Leptin is the hormone that your body produces when it gets blood sugar level signals that say that you've eaten enough, that you're full. And it produces a response in your brain that is like, okay, I'm full, time to stop. Steve Behrman was a guest on our program a month or so ago, and his wife Trudy, Steve and Trudy were staying at our house. And they both lost a lot of weight since the last time I saw them, which was maybe 6 years ago. They both look, quite healthy and vibrant and just great. And I was like, wow, how'd you lose all that weight? And Steve said, well, we learned that there's this little switch in your body, which is the I've had enough switch. And we just started paying attention to it and stopped eating, and sure enough, Louise made a great meal for them. And halfway through the meal, they both said, thank you very much, we're done, and pushed back plates with half the food on it. If we stopped getting insulted by that, which we weren't, it was really cool. It was in the context of that conversation. And we all started saying, no, I'm done. We'd be a lot healthier. But the problem is that if there's high fructose corn syrup in your food, which is ubiquitous, it's in coleslaw, it's in ketchup. If there's high fructose corn syrup in your body, you don't hear that switch click. It turns off the body's response to leptin, which is what triggers that, okay, I'm full response. So something, on a personal level we can all avoid, and on a societal level, we need to stop subsidizing the production of corn, which has wiped out Mexican farmers and is causing all of us to get obese. And, now they're looking for another story. Oh, let's make it into ethanol. Let's just stop subsidizing it and start growing fruits and vegetables in the breadbasket of America. It's better for us.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
Plus, a lot of this corn is being fed to feed animals, which, is not what they're grown to eat. They're supposed to eat grass. And it's causing all kinds of health problems among them, too. And welcome back. Karen in Farmington Hills, Michigan, watching us on YouTube. Hey, Karen, what's on your mind today?
Well, good afternoon, Tom. I've been watching your show all week, and you've been really getting in some good discussions.
Great, thank you.
So, I called because yesterday you had that man who was rather upset. He said, what do you consider information enough? You have to go to school and you have to decide just the way Tom Hartman wants it.
Right.
Well, pardon?
I said, right. I was laughing. Go ahead and continue.
Yeah. So I think the point is something called informed consent. So if people start in, you know, just say, well, it would be helpful if people could get two or more sides of a story, and then they can decide for themselves what the facts are and how things work.
Right.
And then and if that isn't good enough, you can say, well, it's just like free will. You know, the Lord gave us free will so we could decide whether or not we wanted to follow him.
Yeah. You know, it's a variation on that. I agree. And informed consent is a legal term that has really taken the medical profession by storm in the last two decades. And that's an interesting idea. I like it, Karen. Thank you very much for the call, and thanks for sharing that with us. Andy in Portland, Oregon. Hey, Andy, thank you for watching us on YouTube. What's up?
Oh, yeah. It's a pleasure to talk to you, Mr. Hartman. I'd just like to say that I started reading your book, Legacy of Secrecy, about JFK, and it is outstanding.
Thank you. Thank you. A lot of work went into that book. Lamar was the principal author. I did a lot of the research and wrote small parts of it, but Lamar Waldron really did most of the work on that. He deserves the credit.
Yeah, even if any of your readers just go into a bookstore and pick up the first page and you just read what's in the first paragraph, we're like, oh my God, this changes history.
Yeah, I agree.
But I wanted to talk about Trump's current madness and how the Republicans are definitely complicit in his madness, if not his actual scandals with Russia, including Mitch McConnell and Paul Ryan, so they're not going to do anything. So I'm wondering, is it possible for the five former presidents of the United States to go to the White House? And it doesn't look like a coup de grace, but it is them going to talk to him, and then those presidents either try to talk sense into him or they're subpoenaed to figure out what they know from the conversations.
Yeah, I don't think that Trump would have any interest in meeting with Obama or Carter or
even all five of them.
Yeah, I don't, you know, or Clinton, and probably, and you know, and he's made his disdain for the Bushes pretty obvious too. I don't think he would have any willingness to talk to them, and I'm not sure that it would produce the outcome you want. It might just further, you know, drive him into his corner. He's behaving more and more like a cornered rat, you know, which is the thing that really concerns me.
Well, I'm glad to hear your opinion on it, sir. I hope to talk to you again.
Okay. Thanks for the call, Andy. Nice to hear from you, and thanks for watching us on YouTube. It's really tragic to say that the President of the United States is not interested in hearing from people who are well-informed. He doesn't get security briefings anymore because he can't sit through the... I mean, you know, Obama used to actually read the security briefings, the presidential daily brief. Trump couldn't read it, so they had to read it to him. And then he decided that was too boring, and so he just stopped taking his briefings. He's getting his national security briefings by watching Fox News. Honest to God, this should trouble all of us. We'll be right back. Chicago. Hey, Maine, thanks for listening to WCPT. What's on your mind today?
All right. How you doing?
I'm well.
Tom?
What's up?
Yeah. Well, I got this theory about, you know, democracy versus capitalism. And about capitalism, to me, is more socialistic or has socialism in it because it's the socialism of the few. Like that right now, they're gnawing at democracy of the people. They've been gnawing at the democracy of the people since Ray Goon. You know, they've been playing this game of socialism versus democracy, like to me, since the colonial days. But to me, we've been under a economic socialistic capitalism.
Yeah, you mean socialism for the rich and scraps for the rest of us?
Yeah, right. It's catch as catch can. I mean, you know, that's why I talk about democratizing capitalism, because we have to put up our issues of free education, free health care, and things that are for the people, because they want the we, us, and ours. We, us, and ours is democracy, but they want me, mine, and yours.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I want mine and yours. And if you don't watch it, I'll get yours.
And it seems to be working. These billionaires are getting more and more billions every day.
Right. And so we have to fight to hold our democracy and to get back what they've been taking from us since Ray Goon.
Yeah.
Truly.
Yeah, I completely agree with you, Maine, and I think that this without the stabilizer of democratic socialism, raw capitalism in a democracy doesn't work, because you end up with a small ruling class of oligarchs who run everything, and when people try to rise up against them, they tend to squash those movements like a bug, you know, or they simply corrupt the government, which is what we're seeing here. Squashing like a bug you're seeing in Turkey, but it's the same thing. So to regulate capitalism, to you know, put down the excesses, and at the same time to provide enough socialism to the people that they're not in the streets. I mean, this is what FDR said. He's, I'm going to save capitalism from itself. How did he do it? With democratic socialism, with Social Security, with unemployment insurance, with housing supports, with, you know, with programs that put people back to work, with government being the employer of last resort. Pretty straightforward stuff. Maine, spot on. Thank you very much for the call. Mary in Fort Worth, Texas. Hey, Mary, what's up?
Oh, I am so thankful for your program, and I've been really appreciating it.
Thank you.
Much to my regret, I may be one of those voters who helped get Donald Trump elected. I am definitely a democratic socialist who supports single-payer or Medicare for all, public schools, public libraries, public parks, police departments, all those policies that are for the common good. While at the same time, I am a person of very strong religious faith, and though I wouldn't interfere with the civil rights of any person's very personal, private life, I am completely opposed to the comprehensive sex education policies. I am a retired public school teacher that's being pushed by the LGBTQ people activists into our public schools at this time. That's comprehensive sex education. I oppose outlawing abortion, but neither do I support abortion on demand. That issue should be medical and not political. I feel like that the group I'm in is what is more significant and important in the fact that Donald Trump got elected than anyone realizes. And I don't have a voting area now. I can't vote for anything. I wrote in a candidate in 2016. I don't know what I'll do in 2020 if Donald Trump's back on there and we don't have a really strong, good Democratic candidate I can vote for. Do you have any advice or any look into what is going on here with people
Sure.
that vote like me?
Yeah. Well, I consider myself a person of faith, too. What I'm curious about, Mary, is what specifically in comprehensive sex education do you object to?
Well, for one thing, they're pushing it in preschool.
No, but
and,
what's...
They're mainstreaming homosexual behavior. That's
okay, so what you're objecting to is the idea that in our schools we may be teaching our kids that gay people are normal just like all the rest of us. That's what you're objecting to?
Or teaching them, I misunderstood you there. We're teaching them...
That gay people are normal just like the rest of us. That being gay is a part of the normal human variety.
I'm addressing the behavior. Little children are not able to comprehend that behavior. And I don't think we need to, I don't think the public schools are a place for it. The public schools is a place for academic subjects.
Okay. So, you know, it seems to me the public schools are more than that. I would want, in fact, I've been saying this for years, I think it's a real shame that people graduate from school, from high school, not knowing how to change a diaper or how to balance a checkbook. I think that the issue of bigotry against gay people is something that should be addressed in our schools.
Well, of course, I believe it's strictly a behavior that is that a person decides whether or not they're going to engage
in. I get you believe that, but you know, the science doesn't bear that out. Mary, we'll have to have this conversation another time. I'm sorry we're hitting the break, but thank you for your call.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Call 202-808-9925.
That was an interesting and thought-provoking call from a person who's really struggling with these issues. Your thoughts on that. We'll be back. Welcome back. Tom Hartman here with you. Thinking about my conversation with Mary just a few minutes ago, Jimmy Bear just tweeted, Tom, the only thing that last caller is struggling with is her own bigotry and homophobia. It's the same old homophobic crap I've been dealing with my entire life. They all sound the same. Mary, if you're still listening or watching, I would counsel you that being gay or not being straight, because there's a kind of a spectrum between the two, is not, by and large, a choice that people make. Particularly men, but also, I think, women as well. It is not a choice that people make. It is something that we are largely born with. We know by the time we're 6, 7, 8 years old, I mean, long before we're old enough to be sexually active. I remember when I was in elementary school, the one, fairly clearly gay kid in my class, we all knew he was. Everybody picked on him over it. And we were 8, 10 years old. This is, and these people grow up knowing that this is who they are, that they're not straight people like you and I are, Mary. And they're tortured by it in many cases because they know that society doesn't accept them, that there are people like you, Mary, who condemn them and say that they're making a choice. And they desperately try to not make that choice. They go to gay conversion therapy and have people pray over them. They take, years of psychotherapy. In some cases, they even tried drugs or things. And none of it changes their gender orientation or their sexuality. And, just ask anybody, how old were you when you knew you were either straight or gay? Fill in the blank if, you know that that's what they are. And they will typically tell you 6, 7, 8 years old. I mean, that is when, we become aware of the differences between boys and girls and whatnot. So, and it's not just humans, by the way. We see this in every species. When Louise and I lived down in the Willamette River a few years ago, we had these two male ducks that were just inseparable. We called them Adam and Steve. and it was a joke on the homophobes who were making these jokes about Adam and Steve or trashing them. And they were, and they came back, by the way, 2 years in a row. These two were a couple. In the animal kingdom among mammals, you see a small percentage of mammals are gay, as is a small percentage of humans. And that doesn't mean that we should trash these people. In fact, older cultures, you find many Native American cultures, for example, who actually honored gay people and, said that the gay people were, had an elevated understanding of these things. With regard to sex education in pre-K schools, there is, to the best of my knowledge, no such thing. The government doesn't regulate pre-K schools in any meaningful way outside of issues of safety. And so this is the kind of hysteria that Fox News and right-wing hate radio are pitching to you. Or you've got some preacher, Mary, who's you're listening to on the radio or subscribing to, who is telling you this to scare the hell out of you and then will ask you for money. I guarantee whoever's telling you what you told me is also asking you for money. And that's their scam. And that's frankly something that I think Jesus would find a lot more disgusting than, well, I don't think Jesus found gay people disgusting at all. I think, he would be completely accepting of them. And I believe he was. I think that there are signals of that in the Bible. So, when we don't take people for who they are, we end up behaving like bigots. And that's not something, I think, Mary, that you want to be. I don't think that Jesus was a bigot. I don't think that Christianity teaches bigotry. So that's my take on that. Jim in Los Angeles, listening on KPFK. Hey, Jim, what's up?
Hey, Tom, my friend, and your sub-million friends and frenemies. One thing that scared me, when I met you and Bernie at Sister Giant, Bernie calling himself a democratic socialist. The media called him a communist. I wanted him to expand the label to DSSS, a Democratic Social Security Socialist.
Hmm.
And Ms. Cortez has to realize everything she says will be used by Fox Nixon News and Sean Insanity to beat all Dems with. You know, no one is against Social Security except Republican politicians. So,
and the billionaires who fund them. Yeah, I get it, Jim. And this is a language and messaging issue that the Democratic Party is having to grapple with right now. And we'll see how it shakes out. But I would just continue saying democratic socialism is Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, public schools. And if you don't like it and you want to do away with those things, then you have no place in the Democratic Party. You know, the Republican Party will welcome you in a heartbeat. Jim, excellent point. Thank you for calling and making it. Pete in Chicago. Hey, Pete, thanks for listening to Chicago's Progressive Talk. What's up?
Well, hi there. Yeah, I was going to say, with global warming in high gear, should we accelerate our exploration of Mars?
I don't think so. You know, rockets consume, throw out enormous levels of carbon and other wastes into the atmosphere. I don't think that those are. I don't think they're a good idea, frankly. And I don't see any reason for us to be exploring Mars when we've got people who are literally going to sleep. Millions of people in the United States are going to sleep hungry every night. Why would we go to Mars?
Well, because
so Elon Musk can build a mansion there
in 30 years. I mean, what are we going to eat? Our crops will be gone.
Well, you can't grow crops on Mars, Pete.
Huh?
You can't grow crops on Mars. You didn't watch Matt Damon's movie?
Shouldn't we try to save some of the human race?
That's my point. Yeah, I would take the millions, hundreds of millions of dollars, billions of dollars that it'll take getting to Mars and put that into making life more useful here on Earth. Pete, thanks for the call. Taya, watching us in Blackfoot, Idaho on Free Speech TV. Hey, Taya, what's up?
Hi, Tom. My name's Taya.
It's Taya, T-A-Y-A. I'm sorry.
Yeah,
thank
that's
you.
Okay. Last night I was watching the Rachel Maddow show. She's one of my heroes along with you. And she indicated that most of these targeted government officials were also involved in with the Russian Trump coalition.
Right. She's trying to, what Trump is trying to do right now is, go ahead, I'm sorry.
If they lose their security clearance, that they may not have access to the notes and whatnot, should they become witnesses in court.
Correct.
And, you know, that floored me for a minute because I had been sitting here going, what is the matter with this guy? He just hates everybody. I think this is a strategy, a maneuver that he's taking here. Now, what I want to ask you about that is, will these officials still have access to their papers in regard to the investigations that they were doing at that time?
I believe not. And I think Rachel Maddow was absolutely right in pointing that out. We have all been thinking and saying, and the media was continuing to today, which you know is unfortunate. Apparently not that many people in the media watch Rachel's show. But the media was saying today that the reason why Trump is banning these security or taking away these security clearances from you know in the case of Brennan, the former director of the CIA, is because he doesn't like what they've said about him. Turns out, if you stack up everybody on that list with one single exception, and that person had peripheral involvement, but all the rest of them were directly involved with the Russia investigation in the last year of the Obama administration and the first few months of the Trump administration, all of them, they're all potential witnesses against Robert Mueller. And if Trump takes away their security clearance, you're absolutely right. They will not have access to their notes. They will not be able to testify in a meaningful way in those investigations. And the next step that I think, you know, wouldn't surprise me at all if he does this tonight or next Friday night is taking away the security clearance of Robert Mueller. And if he does that, the investigation is shut down. I mean, he doesn't have to fire anybody. And he's testing the waters with this and seeing how far he can push this before Republicans push back. And by and large, Republicans are not pushing back. I saw, Lindsey Graham saying, oh, yeah, it was just fine. You know, these people shouldn't have said what they said. Brennan, you know, was out of line. No. And Trump is trying to kill the witnesses, essentially. Taya, thank you for the call. Spot on. I completely agree with you. And I'm very concerned about it as well. Rich, in Cedro Woolley, Washington. Hey, Rich, what's up?
Hi, Tom. Yeah, when we, the FDR Democrats, start talking about free stuff like free health care or free college education, the folks on the right push back with, well, how are you going to pay for it? I think we need to find a new name for that. I know tax funded doesn't sound so great. Collectively funded, that's pushing the envelope of Marxism, maybe. I don't know. I'm asking, can we come up with a better term instead of, you know, to explain a simple package that...
I think the commons is a good one.
The commons?
Yeah, it's part of the commons. It's the stuff that we collectively own and that we collectively administer for our own collective benefit. That should be things like healthcare, water systems, electric systems, septic systems, police, fire. I would say the internet should fit into that category, as Chattanooga has done with citywide broadband. Go ahead.
We could say things are commonly funded then.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. Fund the commons.
Collectively.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that definition of the commons needs to be pushed out into the civics classes in every school in America. We're not having these kind of conversations, and we really do need to. So, Rich, that's how I would message it, is, you know, this is the commons, this is how the commons works, this is what you want to know about the commons, and democratic socialism is about protecting and well funding the commons. As opposed to, like, Ryan Zinke, who's now trying to literally sell off public lands, because he's got billionaires who want to buy them and mine them and frack them. Rich, thanks a lot for the call. We'll be back. It's 45 minutes past the hour.
You're listening to Tom Hartman. Visit TomHartman.com for audio and video archives.
Anything Goes Friday on the Tom Hartman program. Speaking the truth, multinational corporations would really rather you didn't know all about. We'll be back with more of your calls right after this. And welcome back. Let's see here. Charlene in Gilbert, Arizona. Hey, Charlene, thanks for listening to us on TuneIn. What's up?
Hi, Tom. A couple of weeks ago, you had a few listeners call and talk about flying their flags upside down as a means of protesting. And I agree with you about, you know, being concerned about having, you know, the police or emergency services come and break down your door in concern for your safety.
Right.
What I've decided to do is whenever I mail paper mail, I take my stamp and I turn it upside down, since it's a flag stamp.
Yeah, I've been doing that.
And then I go on to Facebook periodically and post a picture of an envelope with stamp on upside down and explain why I do it.
Yeah.
So that might be something people can do.
Great. Well, that's a good suggestion, Charlene. Thank you. I've done that myself. I have those flag stamps, and I'll from time to time stick them on upside down. That's a great idea. Thank you. Tom in Temecula, California. Am I saying that right, Tom?
No, it's Temecula, Tom.
Temecula. Okay. What's up?
Hi, I'm a 11 and a half year continuing student at Hartman University. I was going to call on your anniversary, which was Valentine's Day, but a certain shooting got in the way. At any rate, I'm trying to get under Trump's skin with the NFL players and the kneeling. So I've got an idea that they should use. Are you familiar with the movie Black Panther?
Yeah, actually, Louise and I watched it last week.
Okay, so you got the Wakanda salute.
Yeah.
So the players stand for the anthem, put their hand over their heart, and when they get to the land of the home of the grave, then they cross their other arm over and give the Wakanda salute at the end, and that way technically the wrong arm is over first because your right hand it's supposed to be right overlap, but that's it.
Okay.
I just wanted to give that to your audience, the smartest audience in TV, because yours is the smartest host on TV.
Well, thank you.
And radio.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Okay, the Wakanda salute. We'll work on it. James in Spokane, Washington. Hey, James, quick one.
Hey, how you doing, y'all?
Good.
First time I want to ask, have you ever heard of an economist, an English economist named Thomas Robert Malthus?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay. You're aware of this theory then?
Yeah.
Okay.
Intimately.
Call about the Catholic Church. Mm-hmm. Listening to some of the evidence that they gave, some of the victims and an ex-priest, apparently the guys caught dirty, transferred to other parishes, are often the ones promoted within the church, which makes me think for 2,000 years this has been going on.
Oh, I agree.
And the people in charge.
I would say not for 2,000 years, for 1,700 years, since the reinvention of the Catholic Church in 366 at the Second Council of Constantinople, and the establishment of a all-male celibate priesthood. And I'm frankly not sure that happened in 366. That might have happened somewhere in the Dark Ages. I'm not a scholar of Catholic history.
I was raised as a Catholic and went to Catholic school. And I got to tell you, like one of these victims also said, as late as the 1950s and probably into the 60s and maybe 70s, if you accused a priest, they'd sooner commit you to an institution than they would ever believe
yeah.
a priest would do this. And again, that has been the case for 2,000 years.
I agree. And the institution is set up in a way that it promotes this sort of a problem. And the Catholic Church needs to do away with celibacy and do away with a male-only priesthood and allow priests to marry and allow women to become priests. If they were to do that, I think within two generations, they would largely purge this problem from their church, as the Church of England, as the Episcopal Church has already done. Thanks a lot for the call, James. Welcome back. Tom Hartman here with you. Michael Brown's mother has decided that, enough of this hiding in the shadows, not hiding, living in the shadows, enough of this just, being upset about what happened to her son. She is going to get active. I think this is absolutely spectacular. Here's a very, very short clip of her talking about it. We need the audio. We don't have the audio. Okay, we'll have to come back to that on Monday. Bill in Clifton, New Jersey. Hey, Bill, what's on your mind?
Yeah, hi. I'm not a Christian, but I don't know or understand how abortion and homosexuality became the bane of Christianity, since there's nothing mentioned that I know of in the Bible, which you can, say chapter and verse.
There is one place in
homosexuality.
There's one place in Deuteronomy and Leviticus where they are cataloging the 638, as I recall, laws that people have to live by. If they were members of the Jewish religion or Hebrews or whatever they call themselves back
right.
2,000 years ago or 3,000 years ago. And it simply says that, men shall not lay with other men. It says it's an abomination. The subsequent lines say it's an abomination to eat shellfish. It's an abomination to wear clothing made out of two different kinds of fabrics. I don't uh-huh. see evangelicals, raiding Red Lobster. To the best of my knowledge,
right.
it's not happening. They're very selective in which are the rules they want to follow and which are the rules they want to get hysterical about.
Right, but this is a religious thing. Should we stop killing cows because Hindus live here?
Yeah, exactly. This is and my point to people who want to say that this shouldn't be is that you're selectively picking and choosing from your religious texts to mm-hmm. subsidize or to support essentially your bigotry, your fear. Most bigotry mm-hmm. is, in fact, I would say probably all bigotry is grounded in fear. And so,
right.
people who hate gay people are people who fear
right.
gay people, and many of them are probably fearing the gay impulses that they themselves feel from time to time.
Right, but all these negative things they're doing, don't they know that they're going to be undone in the future? I mean, all these,
no.
whatever he's doing, I guess they're waiting for the Democrats to come in and save the country again while they sort of exploit it, knowing that a short term they get a lot of money and then the Democrats will straighten out the world.
Yeah, who knows? But it's really unfortunate because it's causing, I mean, our having conversations like my conversation mm-hmm. with Mary, if it's being heard by a 10 or 12 year old mm-hmm. gay kid, is the kind of mm-hmm. thing that sets up a 15-year-old suicide,
Yeah.
I mean, the suicide rate among gay children is higher than any other population in the United States, and
right.
as
and
a percentage of the population.
I think she's afraid of sex altogether.
Well, it may be. I don't want to psychoanalyze Mary. I don't know Mary. And she certainly comes across to me as a person who is trying to do the right thing and believes what she believes. And I think that she has been frankly lied to by some right-wing
right.
preachers who are trying to get her money. But I could be
right.
wrong. I mean, who knows? Bill, thanks for the call. Spot on. Steve in North Troy, Vermont. Hey, Steve, what's up?
Hey, Tom. Greetings from the home of the bugless summer. We're seeing it up here in Vermont also.
Oh, my.
I used to shuttle hikers to and from the Long Trail to Burlington for many years.
Mm-hmm.
And in summer, I would have to, actually pull over to clean the windshield from
yep.
from bugs.
And now there's none.
Yeah, and now there's none, and in the birds that eat them and stuff, too. But there's also a Consumer Reports thing in today's paper where they found heavy metals in baby food. And we're getting doused with mercury and cadmium and lead from coal burning.
Yep.
And it's bound to get in the soil. And now we've I saw that the article on the glyphosate lawsuit. And the glyphosate is getting up in the water column, and it's falling back to the earth as rain. And we've gone from using 30 million tons a year to 400 tons a year.
Wow.
And there's nothing but GMO. Luckily, I'm in a little pocket of organic growers up here.
Yeah.
But over in Franklin County and stuff, there's nothing but the miles and miles of the GMO corn and, you know, our famous ice cream makers up here.
Yeah, right? Yes. I know. They're doing their best. Steve, I want to get one more call in here before the end of the day, but thank you for your call. Stephen in Cambridge, Mass., listening on AM 910. Hey, Stephen, what's up? You got 1 minute.
Thank you. Thank you, Tom. Oh, yeah, I was just thinking of the fearful leader there, and I came up with... He has multiple personality disorder, and I can think of three New Yorkers.
Oh, Trump?
That's perfect. Bernie Madoff, Eric Spitzer, and Leona Helmsley, all rolled into one. I hope he has a good weekend.
Yeah.
Thank you. You too, Tom.
Yeah, okay, thanks a lot. Thanks a lot, Stephen. I'm not sure I'd put Elliot Spitzer if that was who you intended to put into that list. Elliot Spitzer was taken down by Roger Stone. Nancy, we have 30 seconds. Do you have something quick you want to say? Nancy in Los Angeles?
Oh, yes, Tom. I was thinking about messaging. And when my hero Bernie Sanders gets attacked as being too extremist, why don't they simply turn it around and say, what's extreme, not extreme, about a billionaire class? Where it used to be multi-millionaires, and now it's billionaire classes.
Agreed.
Only 1/10 of 1%.
Yep, I completely agree. And what's not extreme about wanting to destroy Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, public schools, you know, public roads? I mean, this is the Republican agenda, to destroy all this stuff. It is extreme. And no, Bernie is right in the middle of the FDR agenda. He's totally mainstream, as is much of the Democratic Party. And a fine thing it is, by the way. So on that note, have a great weekend. I hope you have a wonderful, safe, blessed weekend, and we will be back on Monday taking your calls and with more of the news of the day. In the meantime, don't forget, democracy is not a spectator sport. Get out there, get active, tag, you're it. We'll see you Monday.
You've been listening to Tom Hartman. For audio and video archives, visit tomhartman.com.